Chapter 4. Memory. Alpharius watched Silonius in silence.
"Why are you here?"
the Primarch said at last, and gave a smile that had no echo in his eyes.
"You are here because we have a duty for you, a very particular duty. We were preparing for this war before it began. We have moved within the circles of conflict, sowing our own seeds and sharpening the victory that will come." He stopped. "But things have changed. We are the masters of confusion. But now we reach a tipping point."
Alpharius paused and reached out to place the sliver of blade in his hand back with the rest of the broken spear on the plinth beneath the light.
"We are in the last stages of this war," he continued.
"All the blood scattered on the ground, all the battles won and lost for advantage, will soon become the past. Horus is going to move to take Terra. The day long promised is waiting just beyond the present." Silonius blinked, unsure whether he was more shocked to hear the War Master's name used with familial ease, or the revelation that the final gambit of the war was so close. "His road has been long, but he is coming, and he will not be stopped. That possibility has long passed."
"What does that mean for the Legion, Lord?"
"It means that we have a choice. We can either stand aside or we can act." Silonius frowned.
"I sense that the choice might also have passed."
Alpharius looked at him for a long moment and then nodded.
"We have begun. The domains of Terra already burn, and the darkness grows around Rogel in his fortress. He will have noticed, I am sure. But he will be thinking in terms of grand assaults, of millions coming from the stars to break against his wall."
Alpharius smiled again, and the coldness was in his eyes once more.
"Too simple in vision, too burdened by duty, too strong without understanding strength. Those were always his weaknesses. He could stand against whatever horde the others could throw at him, and fight and win, even as he was drowned in blood. But there are other ways and other weapons."
Alpharius paused, his eyes going back to the deconstructed spear.
"His defenses are flawed, and he does not even see how."
"We are going to Terra," said Silonius.
It was a statement, not a question, and fell from his lips with flat certainty. Alpharius shook his head.
"We are already on Terra. We are in the solar system. We always have been. But there is more. Much more. We are going to wound Dorn and his honored sons. We are going to humble them and strip the ground of certainty from beneath their feet."
"And then, Lord? What then?"
"I offer my brother a choice," Alpharius said, and turned away.
"And what is the victory we seek?"
Alpharius shot him a sharp look.
"We have already won, Silonius. We won years ago. It is merely a question of the shape of that victory."
Silence followed those words. Silonius spoke at last.
"And my part in this, Lord?" "Someone needs to be there," said Alpharius. "Someone needs to go to Terra to begin this, and to see it end."
Imperial Fist's frigate Unbreakable Truth, the Solar Void.
"He should be awake now."
Incarnus heard the voice from behind a grey fog. Everything was warm, soft, numb. He tried to reach out with his mind, but recoiled as a sharp spike of pain flashed through the fog like a fork of black lightning.
"Oh, no, 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 no," said the voice.
"You really shouldn't do that. Not if you don't want the pain to split your skull.
Open your eyes, if you can."
The pain still clinging to the inside of his skull, Incarnus willed his eyes open. They moved sluggishly, and the world became a watery blur of shapes. He could feel cold metal circling his neck, wrist, and shins. The burned stump of his arm was strapped across his chest.
Hold still,
said the voice, and he blinked rapidly as jets of liquid washed his eyes. After a second, he found that his sight had cleared.
There,
said the voice, and he saw that it belonged to a young human female with a pale face framed by braided chrome hair. He noted the red circle tattooed under her left eye and blinked again in surprise.
Now at least you should be able to appreciate your circumstances, she said, and stepped back.
Behind her stood two space marines in the gold and black heraldry of the Imperial Fists. Both had their helmets on and were staring at him with unmoving, glowing green eyes. He saw that one was the same warrior he had seen before he had fallen into nothing. He swallowed. The girl smiled.
I am advised that the device attached to your skull can detect if you attempt to use your witch gift, and will reward any such attempt with an excess of pain. Unless that is something you desire, I suggest you keep your thoughts inside your skull. You,
he said, feeling his tongue move sluggishly.
You are one of the Selenar.
The girl's smile did not falter.
Well done. And you, I had thought that none of your kind remained. I found a way to survive,
he replied, the words rasping from his lips.
By agreeing to serve the Alpha Legion in return for protection, yes? At least,
he hissed,
at least we didn't sell ourselves to barbarians and worshippers of ignorance. No, you chose traitors and deceivers instead.
The Imperial Fist, who bore the marks of a sergeant, shifted, and the girl flicked a glance at him.
He is a Crimson Walker, she said. One of the last, in all likelihood.
I know of them, said the cloaked warrior, without looking away from Incarnus. They were witchbreed, gene mutilators and techno-mystics. The warlords and monarchs of old night used them as viziers and advisers, and they returned the favor by creating machines and monsters for them. They were exterminated decades ago.
But extermination is rarely perfect,
the girl said, and looked directly at Incarnus.
I want, said Incarnus. I want sanctuary. Why?
She asked.
I am afraid. Begin telling us something that will help us,
said the girl.
They are,
he breathed.
The attacks on Terra were not without purpose.
To cloud our minds with doubt and shadows, to seed fear in the ranks of the loyal, said the cloaked Imperial Fist. And that was their purpose, and in that they have failed.
Have they?
Incarnus asked, and licked his lips. The numbness in his mind and body was fading. A ghost throb in his vaporized arm was replacing the pain of the psi-clamp. Things had not gone as he had planned. He had hoped to flee back into the diaspora of lawlessness that existed in the voids of the solar system and vanish from sight. Now he was in the hands of the Imperium, and facing their judgment for both his nature and his alliance to the Legion. There was a chance of survival, though, a slim, desperate hope. He had to give everything he knew and hope that it would buy mercy. The Selenar girl knew that, he could tell.
The Legion does not operate with simple objectives, he said. It has parameters, volumes of possibility in which there are many potential victories and outcomes. The erosion of your spirit was only one of the possible objectives of the strikes on Terra. It was not the primary objective.
He paused. In his mind he saw the face of Silonius, its features the mirror of Fokron's face.
What was the objective?
Asked the girl.
Information,
he said.
You have traitors in your midst, eyes and ears which watch and listen for the Legion. They have been there for a long time.
The agents of the Sigillite have eliminated,
the sergeant began.
Have found the chaff sent by Horus's other allies. The Legion is neither clumsy nor amateurish, and they have had longer to prepare than you suspect. This thing they are doing, it is beautiful. You admire those you claim to want to betray out of fear,
said the girl.
How thoroughly paradoxical of you. I hate and fear them,
he said.
But you have to admire their abilities, don't you?
None of them replied. He licked his lips, feeling his tongue moving more easily with every word.
The Legion's agents are not deluded sympathizers or naive ideologues. They are not new converts to rebellion. They have been in place for years. Some of them do not even know who they serve.
Who are these traitors? Asked the sergeant.
I do not know. And anyway, their identities do not matter. Only their existence matters. You see, alone, each of them has only a narrow view of events. But if focused on a single event, those eyes and ears form an image.
And that is what they created, said the Imperial Fist in the cloak. A single point of focus.
Incarnus thought he heard an edge of bitter realization in the warrior's voice.
We attacked, and they watched. They watched which forces moved and those that did not. They saw how you controlled information. They watched how you isolated a threat. They saw your soul, Praetorians.
And the information from all those sources?
Asked the girl. Her eyes had a hard, intense focus to them.
Collected, compiled.
Where is it?
Asked the girl.